Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. How are you doing? It's cold, right? It's winter, isn't it? We forget that. But it does feel like super cold. What can I tell you about? The Club Soda place is just great. Some of you will have had the opportunity to go see it already. And my guest is Laura. The interview is a little bit up and down because it was all cutting out. We got some Wi-Fi issues, but I think you'll get the gist of it. So we'll bring you that in a moment. Laura Willoughby from Club Soda talking about the new dedicated space in central London. I mean, it really is something, isn't it, when there is now a permanent alcohol-free bar and shop, off licence, as it were, and even an opportunity to taste some of the alcohol-free drinks. It's a real game changer. You know, I'm always saying it, keep the ritual, change the ingredients, particularly at this time of year. It really feels important. We did our session on Bossing a Sober Christmas last week. It was great to see so many people on that call. And I encourage people to set an intention, you know, decide what you want this Christmas. We did a little poll as well as to how people are feeling, because, you know, there's no doubt it can get frantic. It really can if you've got stuff going on with families and colleagues and socializing, and it just can all just feel too much. And I think we're very good at taking on too much and becoming people pleasers, and then we get that kind of martyrdom thing, and I have to do everything. And there is a kind of element of, I just want to run for the hills, seriously. And then if you add alcohol into the mix, which invariably it pops up somewhere, then it can become such a tricky time. So we had our little session and encouraged people to set an intention. Everyone can do this. Just decide what you want and then ask yourself, okay, what's my part in that? Rather than just being sort of glibly hopeful about how marvelous everything might be realistic about what you want and then go for it. Set some parameters in place. Ask yourself, what might trip me up? What might go wrong if I really want it to be this way? And it might mean you have to set some boundaries. I think that is one of the amazing benefits of sobriety. We do start to understand that boundaries are not being unkind. It's protection. It's beneficial for everyone when we set our boundaries. It makes things clear. Set some boundaries if you need to. I mean, I'm talking, you know, it's that one of those things where it's one finger pointing at you and four back at me, because I have to do this. You know, I really find myself getting a little bit frantic about, the kids all want different presents and everything's wildly expensive. And what if that doesn't even arrive in time? And you start getting overcomplicating everything. And really, does it matter? It's bonkers. It's one day. And we really do need to kind of take the pressure off a little bit. Anyways, the being able to drink alcohol-free drinks might literally be the answer for some people, because if you are feeling stressed about an office Christmas party coming up or relatives coming over or whatever it is, then knowing that you can take your own choice of great alcohol-free drinks is going to really make a difference. And a couple of Sober Club members have had some real wins this week. We said, okay, what can you pat yourself on the back for? And one woman said, I'm so proud of myself. I went to a function. I'm only 10 days sober or something, really nervous about it, but I took my own, or I ordered something, I forget which way around it was. She said, actually, I was really concerned I'd be sober shamed, but nobody even really bothered. They kind of drank what they were drinking and no one bothered me. And it felt all right after an initial kind of slight awkward feeling. It felt all right. And, you know, there it was. I got home and was able to take my makeup off, go to bed at a reasonable time, woke up feeling fantastic. Whereas how different would it have been, really? When we think back, you know, we all walk around with these kind of rose-coloured specs on around alcohol. Well, certainly I used to. you know, these kind of rose-coloured specs that say, oh, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice just to have one? No, actually, it wouldn't. Try and remember back to what it was really like when you woke up the next day feeling absolutely hideous and just such regret. You know, that's if you even know how you got home or who you ended up with or what you said to the boss or your mate. You know, but anyways, let's not get into the shame. Let's just focus on what it is we want, right? It really is. It really does make such a difference when we focus on what we want. Hopefully you saw the piece that I did on TV with Dr. Sean Williams on Channel 5 Mind Matters. That was good to be able to do that piece. And there's a longer podcast version. And, you know, I was able to share on there that the thing that I'm on to go on about the whole time, which is that we have to focus on what we're gaining here. You know, we never use the phrase give up because we're not giving up anything. So if you find yourself slipping into that, using those words, just try and catch yourself, put the pause in and try and catch yourself and say, oh, okay, I'm going to reframe this. I'm going to call this quitting or ditching the booze, and I'm going to focus on what I'm gaining, even if for a short time, just bring in that curiosity. What am I going to be gaining here? And we spoke about that on the show. I think I've mentioned before that Sian herself has been sober for a few years, which is just fantastic. So it was great to be able to do that. I was so grateful to get that opportunity because I think there's a lot in the media around, you know, looking at people who are rock bottom and looking at alcohol. Well, I say a lot. There isn't a lot on TV and radio. There was the piece on BBC the other night, wasn't there, about I think the title was something like I'm an Alcoholic, looking at AA. But I don't know that there's a lot around how where alcohol meets mental health and well-being and, you know, that positive sobriety piece. So, yeah, there's definitely room for more TV and radio. So if there's any producers listening, you're very welcome to contact me. I'm your girl. Yeah. So what else can I tell you? We have a really nice kind of prize draw running at the moment. We're raising some funds for our Sober Club Give Back Fund. This is where we support people who can no longer afford a membership or for what we call SOS, Save Our Sobriety Coaching, emergency coaching, as it were, which, of course, people need from time to time. And we have people who can offer that. But obviously, we need a few quid in the funds. So we've got a really nice little prize draw on offer where you can make a donation into our Sober Club Give Back Fund. And that's equivalent to buying a little ticket into our prize draw. And everyone who does that gets our alcohol-free cocktail making video tutorial, which is worth $9.99. So come on, your quid's in already, right? It has 6 recipes that you can actually watch the video of a mixologist making 6 classic cocktails. So you get that anyway if you enter. And you also entered into our prize draw to win a huge hamper of natural and organic skincare products, a whole range of gorgeous products, lots of leading natural and organic brands worth over 500 quid. Really is. This stuff's expensive and there's some really, really lovely items there. Because I'm a really big believer that once you stop drinking, right, you start to care about everything holistically. You know, you do start to want to care about what you put on your skin. And why would you want to put chemicals and alcohol on your skin? Alcohol is in so many skincare products and it's crazy. So, yeah, I love encouraging people to think about what they're putting on their skin, what they're cleaning their home with, obviously the nutrition piece. But anyway, so we have that lovely hamper up for grabs, over £500 worth of natural and organic skincare products. And then we've got a runner-up of another kind of bath time bliss pack and another pack of alcohol-free drinks. So it's a fiver for a donation. Obviously, you can buy more tickets if you want to. And I'll put the link in the show notes, or you can just go to thesoberclub.com and you'll see that little blog post come up there on the front page if you'd like to enter and donate, which, you know, really goes to support people who can't afford some of the stuff that we offer. It'd be most great. We'll be most grateful to you if you want to do that. So thank you. Just a heads up that in January, we're going to be hosting constellations, either end of Jan or early Feb. So just getting that one firmed up. And another Sober by the Sea as well will be in February. So just drop me a message if you're interested in any of these, and I'll make sure you're on the list as soon as the dates are properly finalised. And right now, let's hear from Laura. Laura, how exciting is it? Your fabulous new tasting room and bar and space in Covent Garden. You must be so excited.
I'm excited and tired. And this space has been a long time in the waiting. You know that we closed the pop-up in March after extending it a few months because we knew we wanted to open something permanent. So it's taken us from then to here to get the shop open. But as you might be able to hear in the background, we are finally there and the shop is open. We've had a whole big stream of customers today.
Amazing, amazing. Well, we'll talk a bit more about the shop in a moment. Just first of all, just in case there is anybody who's not aware of the work that you do and Club Soda, just want to give us a little bit of a potted kind of overview.
Yeah, so, well, you know, Club Soda has been going since 2015. Our goal was to help people drink more mindfully. So whatever your goal is, we can help you get there, whether that's to cut down, stop for a bit or quit. And I guess it's really interesting for me because I set up Club Soda to do that, to be that supportive community. But I'm a campaigner by background, and very quickly people started saying that there was a lack of options in pubs and bars and restaurants. And so I switched my mind to, you know, how could I solve that problem? And we did some research and we started to talk about that. And then some alcohol-free brands started to hit the market. And so we thought we'd do a festival. And so hand in hand with the behaviour change stuff that we're very passionate about has come the fact that we have become experts in alcohol-free drinks and how you can use alcohol-free drinks to help you change your drinking habits.
Absolutely. I mean, it really is a game changer. You know, I remember, well, it's almost 5 years since I stopped. And I remember that, you know, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven when I came to your Mindful Drinking Festival. It's like, oh, wow.
I know. And I remember seeing you there.
It's like people are normal and there's stuff I can drink. you know, really is. But even since then, the change has been incredible, hasn't it? I mean, I remember that the one that I came to, you know, there was a huge range of beers. I think you were proudly telling me that there was something like 28 or something. And now, I mean, you know, it's not just the beers, it's everything. I mean, you must be just astonished at the variety that is available now. And I don't know how you're going to fit them all in the shop, Laura.
Well, we can't, and I have to say no to people. And Janie, do you know how hard it is for me to say no to people? It's very, very hard. I love working with everybody, and I love sharing stuff with people. So to have to say some brands that we just don't have room right now is very difficult. So we've picked the things that we think are the best, that represent the range, that we think are the best quality, where there's something for every age group and every type of mindful drinker. So whether you're somebody who's never drunk before, somebody who's cutting down, somebody who's only interested in wine, whatever, we've got something for you. And I think that's the important thing. And then the reason why it's a tasting room is because you can, of course, come in and try.
Well, that's a game changer, isn't it, really? Because, you know, it's all very well sort of talking about these drinks, but some of them can be quite expensive. And if you're just starting out, you don't really want to shell out 25 quid on something that you're really not going to like. So the fact that you offer that opportunity is really amazing.
Yeah, we can let you taste it, but also in context and let you try some, you know, if you go, oh, well, what I really want is a replacement for an Aperol spritz. We can give you a range of different products that you can try and taste them. It's not like the pop-up where we allowed everything to be tried because that was very hard work. But we've always got something available. Each week you can see what we've got available to taste. So you can come in and try. And then we're running workshops, masterclasses, cocktail classes, the work. So you can come in and do a bit of a deeper dive.
Yeah, and an actual bar. I mean, that really is a game changer. I mean, I honestly, I'm so delighted. It really does make such a difference to be able to come into London and actually go find, you know, have somewhere where you can meet someone and actually not feel like, you know, it's a hassle that the alcohol is around. It's just amazing, really amazing. And it's such a gorgeous space. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. You must be thrilled with the building. Buildings have got an energy and it's got a lovely energy.
Well, we're very grateful to everyone who contributed to our crowdfunder, our award crowdfunder that helped us make this space possible because it has cost a lot to do. It's very different to a pop-up. Yeah. We wanted to create a space where people could drink. I've been very I've not been using the word bar because it scares me so much. I was like, I'm not running a bar in the West End, but basically we have a
bar.
But
you are.
Please come. There is space for people to come and drink late on a Thursday, Friday and Saturday, but we've already had people in this lunchtime having glasses of wine and some cocktails and so on.
Amazing.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. So, I mean, just to give it, for anyone who's kind of new to this whole scene then, just to give an overview, you've obviously got a whole range of alcohol-free beers, you've got alcohol-free wines, you've got obviously botanicals and spirits, and then you've got some, you know, unusual things as well. I'm guessing you've got things like Jimba and you've got kombuchas and anything I've missed out. I'm sure there's lots. Have I lost you?
Sorry, Janie. I really was hoping that I hadn't. Are we back?
Are we back?
You're going to have to edit this now.
No, that's all right. No worries. So, yeah, I was just saying, so you've obviously got loads of alcohol-free beers, you'll have wines, you'll have botanical spirits, obviously, and then kombuchas and I'm guessing other things that I haven't even, you know, mentioned, because I defy anyone to say they can't find alcohol-free drinks they like, because the choice is just immense, isn't it?
Yeah, and the technology is continuing to change. We've actually got a mood enhancing section, which is full of drinks.
Oh, yeah. Like functional things.
Functional ingredients in. So we've got Centurion, we've got Three Spirits. We've picked some of our best wines. We've got Oddbird and Thompson and Scott. You know, if you've been looking for an alcohol-free wine, you know, there's lots of alcohol-free wines out there, but we've picked the very best that we think.
Well, yeah, I know that. My audience are always sort of telling me, oh, it's all very well, but I can't find a red. But you've even cracked that now, haven't you, really? There's some great ones.
I think so. It's getting there. And I mean, always remember that if you're still drinking alcoholic wine and you're trying to compare the two, it's a hard comparison.
Exactly.
But the most important thing, you know, this was like the light bulb moment for me, which is, you know, the alcohol-free wines, particularly the reds, absolutely go brilliantly with food, which apparently is how you're meant to drink wine, Janie.
Who knew? Yeah. You're not meant to just chuck it down your neck in a bucket.
Yeah, without anything else. So, and I took, you know, some of the Oddbird and the Naughty Red I've now taken to restaurants with me. And it's the first time in 10 years I've had wine with a meal in a restaurant, and it just felt amazing. So do come in and try some of those.
Definitely.
And then you know, we've got some really good craft sodas, we've got things like real sparkling tea, we've got
that's lovely. Yeah
you know, we've got a range of drinks that really represent everything. There'll be something new for you to try, there are ingredients for your cocktails, and we'll be expanding that range. So if there's a cocktail, like, you can go away and immediately make it. We've got the Everleaf range in, and we've got all of those as spritzers and cocktails behind the bar.
Yeah,
so,
great.
We've got Lucky Saint on draft, right?
And we've amazing.
And also the full Big Drop range, because so normally in the supermarket, you'll only find a few of them, but we've got their brilliant brown ale and all of that sort of stuff.
Brilliant. Excellent news. So again, just in case there's anyone who's very new to this whole scene, would you mind just going over for me again the rather complex scenario around the ABV and the 0.5? Will you just lay that out as simply as you can for people who might be new to all this?
Well, what I would say to people is this, that if you let me start again, Janie. Sorry, I've got a bit of a cough as well.
That's all right.
What I'd say to people is 0.5 and below, you do not need an alcohol license for.
Yeah.
And that's always globally, the world over, been known to be alcohol free. And that is what we consider to be alcohol free and all of that sort of stuff. There's some technical old fashioned wording that the government was meant to change some time ago, which meant that things between 0.05 and 0.5 were meant to be called de-alkalized, because that's all that was available at the time and all of that sort of stuff. So technically some of them in theory should be called low alcohol, but if it's a product that comes in from abroad, then it can still be called alcohol free. So you can see the government's made this very easy by not
exactly
to making a decision. So I would tell
Sorry,
I
carry
will
on.
Say to people this, which is basically, You will eat more foods in a day that are higher than 0.5% ABV. Exactly. It's a tiny trace of alcohol. The chances of you getting drunk, you're not breaking your streak of days. You're not, if you're doing dry January, you won't be breaking your dry January. None of those things, if you have a 0.5% drink, it is literally tiny, tiny trace elements of alcohol. In fact, you've already got more alcohol than that in your stomach, because of course your stomach ferments the food that you put in it. So, so in that respect, you should see 0.5% as alcohol free. We will have some low in the shop, Janie, which I know will be controversial for some people, but my belief is that this shop's about behavior change. And for some people, switching down from a high strength drink to a low strength drink is one way that they can achieve better balance.
And what do you call low? Do you mean sort of like 4% or something? Those kind of drinks.
So there's no real definition of low.
Okay.
So we will have beers under 3%. We will have spirits where the final mixed products are mixed with a mixer is at 6%. We'll have things like quarter gin in, for example, but also things like smidgen, which is actually 50%, but you only use 5 mils of it. The whole product is designed for you to only use a tiny amount. I mean, if you wanted to get drunk, it's a very expensive way to get drunk. And the final ABV of that product is 0.6% once you've mixed it with a tonic, you see?
Right.
So all of those things. And I think we'll have some wines that might be in at around 8%. Wine's actually the one that I found the hardest to come to a conclusion on. Because, of course, if you're saying to people, yes, you can have half a beer at 3%, but a lot of serves of wine are virtually at a half pint. So, you know, therefore you're having a half pint of wine at 8%. How does that correlate? So we'll have to see what we do with wine. It will be something we will continue to evolve over time, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I know your thing has always been about, you know, mindful drinking rather than necessarily abstinence. It's meeting people where they are, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but also if we think about bigger overall societal change, then, you know, we're never going to stop the whole world drinking. Whilst drinking may reduce, the number of people going teetotal may increase. For me, mindful drinking isn't just thinking about what you drink when you're not drinking. It's about thinking what you drink if you do drink as well.
Yeah.
And there are many ways to be a mindful drinker. And moderation isn't just, I don't drink 4 nights a week and I'll drink 3 of them. Moderation might be for some people, well, I will drink maybe occasionally, and when I do, I'll have a lower strength drink as well. And, you know, and so the world would be a far better place if people put thought into both sides of the equation. Those that do drink, think about what it is that they're drinking. Mm. And those that don't have greater choices. And everybody has a great choice of alcohol-free.
Yeah,
And for me, it's a behaviour, you know, there's a lot more similar between people who are moderating and going alcohol-free than they think.
Yeah.
Because many people who are moderating, my co-founders Drew and Yussi, they will occasionally have half a pint of beer, but I don't think I've seen Yussi have half a pint of beer for at least 4 months. So why does that, you know, so that's his style of moderation. It's incredibly moderate, rather than the I'm not drinking on certain nights of the week. So it's really important that we realize that there's lots of different behaviors out there, but everybody needs to be served well in this space.
Yeah, absolutely. And then let me ask you one more question, because I know that when I first stopped drinking, these alcohol, meeting you guys and these alcohol-free drinks were literally made the difference between me succeeding or not. You know, I didn't really have much connection at that point. I was actually feeling quite ashamed, and, you know, bizarrely, I wasn't ashamed when I was drinking, but when I stopped, the shame really rolled in. And being able to actually sort of carry on keeping that ritual, it really, really made the difference for me. But I remember saying to you, and that was very, very early on, I remember asking you, look, you know, because of the kind of person I think I am I going to get addicted to these? I was really nervous. And your answer was fabulous. So hopefully you can repeat it.
I'm not sure what I said, but...
You said no, you'll be all right.
No, but there's nothing in that. These are just drinks.
Exactly.
Folks.
You said it's drinks. They're not addictive is the point, isn't it?
It's alcohol that's addictive. addictive.
Yeah.
And if there's no alcohol in the drink, then there's nothing to be addicted to, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So if a mate of yours says, "Oh well, you've just got addicted to alcohol-free drinks when you were when you had alcohol," that's utter bollocks, because of course you're just drinking a drink. You could be drinking tea. In fact, you're more likely to be addicted to the caffeine in that tea, probably. But anyway, these are just drinks. They don't have an addictive substance in them. And yes, while you might drink a lot of them, it might be the social occasion that you're addicted to, and the drink helps you be there, not the drink itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the fact that we use the word addicted a lot for lots of things when we might just do something a lot because we like it.
Well,
it's not the
that's
same
very
as being
true.
Addicted.
No, it's really not, is it? It's really not. And also, you know, you and I both know Dr. Addie Jaffe. I've interviewed him, and I know you've worked with him. And I love his take on all of this, that, you know, the way we beat ourselves up is ridiculous, when actually we don't do that with anything else. You know, when we go on a diet, whatever the hell we do, it's just onwards and upwards. But alcohol is so emotive, isn't it? So every little slip, we go bonkers.
And I, you know, and when you've drunk heavily, then keeping hold of your sober identity is quite important. Absolutely, I get that. But the whole point of Club Soda was about how you can be sober in the real world and not hide yourself away from social occasions, which is why we always had our meetups in pubs and bars, which is why I continue to campaign quite successfully, I have to say.
Well, good. I mean, campaign
for more drinks in restaurants and bars and all sorts. And so, because this is about equality, this is about quality of experience, and it shouldn't be socializing is about socializing, not about the strength of the drink in your glass, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a bit more about how that's all going then, because, you know, you've been doing this stuff for years. Is there definitely, you know, are you definitely seeing change? I mean, I think I am, you know, when I go out and about, there's definitely more places got and sometimes they call them mindful drinking menus, don't they, in bars and restaurants. But you know, is there a sort of quantifiable change?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's more to come. I mean, what people don't see is I spend lots of time speaking at trade shows. I talk a lot to the trade media. I'm always coming up with ideas and advice for venues. Part of the reason why I wanted a bricks and mortar space like we have is because 45 venues came into that pop-up shop when we had it last year to have a look at the range in context and to decide what they wanted. And for me, that was too powerful an opportunity to miss. It's not just about the individual customers that come in and can have some tailored and expert advice, but it's also about the fact that the trade now will come in here and see the space and go, okay, we get it now. Here's some stuff to try. This is what we want to put on our menu. We've already been asked to help develop a number of menus for venues.
Good.
This all helps us progress that message.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And people need to know that in the background, and I don't probably talk about it open enough in public circles, I literally do. I find the best pubs and bars and restaurants, and I stick them on panels, and I ask them questions in front of loads of other people in the pubs and bar space.
Yeah.
And for me, that's one of the most important things that we do in terms of not only progressing availability, but also beginning to change mindsets. And, you know, changing your own behavior is about mindset. Changing the behaviors of industries is also about the same thing. They're changing their mindset to go, okay, this is important. Let's start thinking about it. And I've had an amazing, like this year, every year I sort of have my favorites who come and speak on panels. And this year, Freddie from Vagabond Wines has spoken on a load of our panels. And every time he comes on a panel, it's lovely that he says it. He says, "Well, 3 years ago, Laura, you gave me a bollocking and I listened." And I went, "What do you mean?" Right. He says, "Well, you told me I was only buying drinks for me and the founders of Vagabond Wines and not for all of our customers. And you were right. So they now have a good range of alcohol free. And I said to him, "How does that translate now into your sales?" And he says, "Well, of course, it doesn't affect the number of individual drinkers or two people who might turn up, because they obviously come with a wine bar, they've come for wine. But it has increased the number of group bookings we have. Because what happens is people look as a group about where they want to go for a meal, and they look to make sure they go somewhere that has something for everybody in their group. So that's a good vegan meal and good alcohol-free options. And we've seen the number of group bookings increase in the venue and people in those groups drinking alcohol-free. There's a mix of drinking behaviours in a group setting. That's great. That was like a little bit of an epiphany for me. And so I've been dining out on that particular nugget of information, because for me, that's incredibly influential, because pubs and bars and restaurants love group bookings. They like big lots of people coming. And if I can persuade them that, you know, having good alcohol free means more groups will book them, then that's fantastic. So
that is great.
This is the stuff that we do in the background. This is partly what the shop's about as well. So when people shop with us, they're not only supporting, you know, our rent and our wonderful staff that we have, but they're also supporting that piece of work that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, then, I think the area that's been slowest to kind of come up to speed is the kind of hospitality area, you know, the kind of venue when you go, you know, when you go to a function or whatever. And even now, the last thing I went to, which was a kind of an awards thing at a really lovely venue, which honestly should know better. It was literally the warm orange juice. It wasn't even water. It was the warm orange juice.
I will continue, you know, to bang the drum about this. A lovely person for you to get on your podcast would be Narmeen from Desert Island Events. Okay. She's an events specialist, and she's beginning to talk about that in the sphere. And this is how influence works, right?
Yeah.
Different people pick up the same message and they begin to propagate it in the spheres they're in. And she has now run a couple of panels at the at events trade shows.
Oh, great.
And I sit on her panels, and then she comes and sits on my panels. And that means we're increasing our reach. And she's got newsletters that go to people in the events industry, so she gets her message across there. But she's doing exactly the same thing. You cannot have awful options for your non-drinkers anymore. And here are the things that you need to do.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, if any of your listeners are out there and you work in any industry, like if you're an events person and you organize anything within your own organization, or you may book tables for your company when you go to an awards event, any of those things, you need to use your voice to say it's not good.
Oh, you're just breaking up a bit there.
I've had a very funny one recently, actually, which is I always reply around in my dietary preference, alcohol, not only that I'm alcohol free, but that I...
Oh, what a shame. I think we've lost the connection. Never mind. I think we got the gist. If you can't hear me, Laura, we'll have to finish up. Anyways, if not, you can find the fabulous Club Soda tasting bar and shop and wonderful space at 39 Drury Lane in London. So make sure you check it out. We'll put the link in the show notes as well. If you can still hear me, Laura, can you? If you can still hear me, then thank you so much. I appreciate it. So we'll get Laura back when the light is a bit better, maybe in January. I'm sure there's going to be an awful lot of people visiting the Club Soda tasting room and bar in dry January. How fantastic to have somewhere to go where you really have just got the most amazing choice of drinks. So I'm looking forward as well. I'm going to be doing a sober club meetup there, hopefully before Christmas. I look forward to meeting up with a bunch of you there. Make sure you drop me a message if you're interested in any of our events that are going to be happening end of Jan or February. Just a heads up, if anyone is interested in becoming a sober coach, I know that's not going to be many of you, but you just never know who's listening to the podcast. So my next training starts the end of January, and then we have another one which is in March. We're just taking some bookings now for 10th and 11th of March is when the course commences. It's a couple of days in person followed by some weeks online, although it can all be done online. We are going to keep the prices the same if you can sort out a deposit, because the price is going up. But for anyone who's interested now, get in touch. If that's you, you know who you are. I'm a big believer that the right people show up for these things. So drop me a message if that's you. So all that remains is for me to say, if it's early days for you, Hold the line. Seriously, hold the line. You'll be okay at Christmas. You really will. It'll be the best Christmas you've ever had, actually, because you'll be properly present. And I really use that word carefully. You'll be actually present for Christmas if you do this. And you absolutely can go through all those traditions, even if you normally have your sherry while you put the tree up or you know, a certain drink on Boxing Day. There are other versions that are alcohol free. You can change it up. You really can. And you'll be so proud of yourself. But stay connected. Make sure you get connected. It's so important to have someone to share this with. When you're feeling super proud of yourself, you can come on the Sober Club and we will cheerlead you. I remember getting ever so upset in my first the first kind of function I went to, and I was so proud of myself because I actually managed it without feeling too grumpy. And actually, I didn't even have any alcohol-free drinks. I don't know what I was thinking of. But I was proud of myself. I didn't have anyone to share it with back then. So the fact that you have, the fact that you there is an opportunity of connection, then really use that. If you've already got a group you're part of, fantastic. If not, come and join us in the Sober Club. It's low cost. It's really high value. Of course, I'm going to say that, but try it for yourself. It includes our course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. And if you've already been sober for months or years, come on down, because it's all the other stuff we do, the nutrition, the well-being, the organic skincare, the meditation, the everything. We really do the everything. So check it out, thesoberclub.com. Please follow me on social media if you don't already. It's at Janie Lee Grace, hashtag thesoberclub. It'd be great to connect with you. If you are early days, tell someone. You can absolutely tell me. I had a couple of lovely emails this week, or messages this week from people saying, I think one woman said, I'm 100 days sober. And it's entirely down to these podcasts, because I've been listening to them, you know, binge listening to the podcast, going through all the archives. And it's just inspired me. And so now I'm 100 days sober. How cool is that? So this can be done. It really can. And you can do it too. And if you need support, if you need help, reach out. Don't do that awful thing of just going within and holding up. Just reach out for the support you need. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.